Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation, only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After three vacationless years, I stumbled on credit card rewards travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're two adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin. Welcome back, everybody. Today on the podcast, we are excited. We have a listener turned guest on the show today. Jen actually submitted a destination idea for our summer road trip series. We covered that, a Southern California road trip. Jen is a diver, and you guys may have heard that episode about her and her husband going diving off the coast of California. Well, today she is here, she is back, and this time she's going to tell us about a big points and miles trip that she went on to Italy. So Jen, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. Excited to chat all
about
Italy. Oh my gosh,
this is a huge bucket list dream for me. So I'm really excited to dig into this with you. But first, let's talk a little bit about you. Tell everyone what you do for work, how you got into points and miles. And also, you just told us a very sad story about how this trip kind of shifted for you. So we definitely want everybody to hear that as well before we dive into the actual trip.
Yeah. So I am a wedding photographer. I live in Wisconsin. And so our season is pretty short. So usually people here are getting married between April through October. There are some winter weddings, but not a lot. So in the off season, I also do some destination weddings and travel. And just being a business owner, I used to put everything on one like Delta card because I'm closest to Minneapolis and Delta Hub. But then my husband started his own business and we were like, we got to figure out the best way to be putting these business expenses on cards and figuring out the best way to kind of set up our businesses for success. And so just through some Googling and some Facebook and, you know, some of those channels got kind of deep in the rabbit hole of points and miles, and now have a very active P2 with my husband and his business. And really we, as Mary Ellen mentioned, we're scuba divers. And what I wanted to do was, okay, how do I take this expensive hobby and be able to make it sustainable and do it long term? So really points and miles is a way that we've found that allows us to dive more frequently, and not in lakes in Wisconsin, but in actual cool destinations that we really have on our bucket list.
That's amazing.
So the sad story with this trip, this was originally supposed to be a trip for my 40th birthday that my husband and I were going to go on. And he ended up, he still plays a lot of rec league sports like softball and basketball, and ended up rupturing his Achilles about 2 months before we were supposed to go on this trip. So we had Paris for a couple of days and then Italy and everything all planned. And we did a sharp pivot, and at least we had points and miles because we could be flexible. Canceled his flight. Canceled the Paris portion of this trip because we really wanted to do Paris together someday. But I actually had another friend who had also just turned 40 and was like, well, if you're open to it, I would love to come with you. We've been best friends since high school. So her and I went together, and it was still incredible, even though it wasn't the original plan. So we made it all work and had a great time.
Okay, I have a question for you. This poor husband, I feel horrible that he had to miss this trip, but I love that you were able, that it was flexible enough that you could pivot to your friend. So my question is, had you booked you and your husband together, I know you guys flew Delta and Emirates, which we're going to get into in a minute. Did you book the itinerary together on the same ticket? Did you have trouble canceling just his part of the ticket, or did you have to cancel the whole thing and rebook your ticket separately? Walk us through that process, because I've often thought about that. You know, what happens if I find a great deal, I book more than one person on the same itinerary, and just one person needs out? Is that going to affect it? You know, do I miss out on the great deal because I have to cancel and rebook and it's not as good of a deal anymore? So tell us how that works.
Yes. So we did have the two of us booked together on the way out there. And we were going to fly Air France. I was going to take advantage of their stopover program. So we had two nights in Paris planned, and then a connection onto Venice, which I think you two know, but in case anyone else doesn't know, Air France offers a free stopover program a lot of the time if you call and make the booking. So that was the original booking. And I did have to cancel both of our tickets. They would not let me cancel just one. But since we wanted to go to Paris together anyway, I wasn't still planning on going to Paris. So it just made sense. Now I have to find some use for those Air France flying blue miles that I have stuck in that account, but we'll make something work with those. The Delta flights, since we both have Delta accounts and are loyal Delta flyers, he was able to cancel just his Delta flight, no problem, when I called them. But then the flight back is where we pivoted, because he had an Emirates flight booked back. And when we canceled it, they did allow us just to cancel his when we were on the same booking. But then I had Emirates miles that I was like, when am I ever going to use these Emirates miles again? So that's where I pivoted and found an Emirates flight there and back instead of doing Air France there and Emirates back. So
wow. And how did that work for your friend? Did she fly with you? Was she able to find good space on the same flights at the same mileage that you spent? Or did she fly completely separate?
Yes. So she lives in Seattle and I am in Wisconsin. So what we did, so this flight that we took, we ended up taking from JFK to Milan. So there and back I took, but she ended up meeting me at JFK and then was able to get on the same flight. Unfortunately, there wasn't business class available for a points booking, but it was only 17,500 points to get her in economy on
that
the same flight as me.
Crazy. That is crazy.
Yes. Such a good deal.
Yeah.
So she was happy with that. She did not mind. She was like, if you're willing to let me come along, I will do whatever to make it work. And then they actually did have the option to upgrade at the gate. And when we got there, it was a little spendy. But they did have that option, and I splurged on her and spoiled her. So aww, she ended up in business class with me as well.
What a great friend you are.
You are a good friend, and I don't want you to be spilling the beans to your friend about how much you spent on her if you don't want her to know, but I also want our audience to know what they could reasonably expect if they wanted to upgrade at the gate. Are you comfortable telling us?
Okay. Yes. So she knew, she was there with me. Okay. So it was, I was transparent with her and I was like, girl, this is one time. Enjoy. But it was either $1,000 cash or 82,000 points. I did not want to spend the cash. So I did use points that we had in my account. It's a little bit nerve-wracking. You have to do the like transfer at the airport, cross your fingers that it is instant. So it is not something that if you're not comfortable with that risk, because sometimes Emirates is instant, and I think that's the case for a lot of people, but there's always a chance that it wouldn't be.
Right.
I felt okay taking that risk. We were there hours early. We were there for like 6-7 hours in between the flights. So I felt pretty confident, and they did say at the gate that they would hold it for us until, you know, before we figured, until while we figured things out.
Okay.
So it worked out.
Okay. So it was 100 almost something. Yeah. Is this the first class flight or this was the business?
So this was business on the way there. Okay. So it is. So I, when I booked mine, I booked direct into business. That was 87,000 points.
Okay.
But when you add up her upgrade plus the original 17,500, it was about 99,000.
Okay, a little more, but still sounds pretty worth it. And what a fun experience for the two of you. Did you guys get any lounge access because of your business class tickets?
Yes. And I will say the Emirates Lounge at JFK is incredible. It is, you know, not anything you can access really any other way. It's not in like Priority Pass or any of those. It is strictly for like business and first class and people with status with Emirates. Mm. So not one I'll probably be back in at least anytime soon, but it was amazing. And we were there for, gosh, I think it opened exactly 3 hours before the flight. So,
oh my gosh, how fun. What an adventure. Mary Ellen, let's do it.
I know. Oh my goodness. It sounds incredible. You say you'll never do it again, but you know what? Points and miles makes things happen that we never thought were possible. And I want you to tell us about, so on the way there was business class. However, on the way back, you did fly Emirates first class. So talk to us a little bit about the differences between business and first class on Emirates.
Yes. And before we dive into that, very quickly tell the audience where you transferred from your points from, because I don't think we said that specifically.
Yes. So these were all Amex points that I did transfer over. But Emirates is a transfer partner with Capital One, with Citi, Chase. So lots of flexibility there. I will say right now they're undergoing some changes. So they have changed the transfer ratio with Citi. They've announced they're changing it with Amex. I think that's in September. So it will cost a little bit more points with some of those banks, but right now it is still what it was, what I paid, and what the transfer ratio was that I used, but it was all from Amex.
Okay. Perfect.
So yes. So business. So the flight over there is an overnight flight. So I think we took off around 10:30 PM. And actually for that one, I would suggest people just do business, because if you're going to do first class and splurge on it, you want to be awake.
Yeah, for sure.
Be able to fully enjoy it. So that was actually unintentional on my part, but the flight back was a daytime flight. So I was really happy that I did the first class on the way back and didn't feel like I couldn't sleep, so I wouldn't miss out on anything. And business class was incredible, and we did get a few hours of sleep. The biggest differences for Emirates is in first class, you have access to a shower, which is crazy. This is only on certain flights, so it's not every Emirates flight. This A380 is one of the double-decker planes. So there's a bar upstairs and a shower for first class. Business class has access to the bar as well. So my friend and I got to go hang out in the bar and, you know, have an espresso martini before we took our nap, which was probably not the most logical thing to do.
I love that you call it a nap, because that's what it is when you go over to Europe.
Yes. But we got pajamas on both flights, which now I have two pairs, and they were different. It was like fun to get two different pairs of pajamas, incredible amenity kits with like full bottles of Bulgari perfume and over the top amenity kits for sure. In both instances. So you can't go wrong with either. Like, they are both bucket list experiences, in my opinion. The first class is just like one notch up, where you're getting Dom Perignon and caviar on demand and ordering off of crazy menus and everything about it. Like, I had truffle cheese plates, and
it is just
luxury to the nines.
And is it more of like a little room? Does it have a privacy wall? Whereas the business class, is that open?
Yes. So the business class has like a partition, but it doesn't fully close. Business class, first class, you could shut the door and no one would bother you. You can barely hear anything. It is a full private little space. Both of them, I was on the window, which are like a single seat. There are two seats in the middle and then one seat on the other window too. So if you were with a partner or a friend, we didn't have the option when I was with my friend, because they were all those doubles in the middle were taken. So we both had window seats, which was just fine. But yes, there's a little bit of a difference of that setup where you have some more privacy in first class.
Okay. How much did you pay for the first class ticket? And did you have to pay to select your seats, or was it just you got your choice?
Yes. So with the business and the first class, you get to pick your seats. For first class, it was 102,000 points, but the taxes and fees were only like $140. So very reasonable.
That's crazy.
That's
crazy.
Yes. For the economy ticket that I booked for my friend initially, there was, I think it was $50 for her to pick her seat. So,
okay, good to know. Very good to know. I'm almost a little sad that she didn't have economy experience because I kind of want to know what it was like.
I know. Because,
you know, I feel like economy on some airlines internationally can still be very nice. How long was your flight?
Just about 8 hours each way.
Okay.
So
not bad at all.
A decent amount. Yep.
Let's now focus on Italy itself. What time of year did you guys visit?
Yeah. So this was April. Of this year. So it was, I think, a perfect time to go. It was not as busy as summer. It was still in the 60s, 70s, very comfortable in the city. We did have a little bit of rain, but we pivoted and made that work and it was just fine. And then for the, and that was kind of the first half, we had a little bit of rain, but the last half it was 70s and sunny and it was just beautiful and not as
wonderful.
Busy. I will
that
say
sounds like
it
a
was,
perfect spring break trip for me.
Yes. There were in the cities a lot of, we saw a lot of American families. I think they were studying, like, you know, children studying abroad, college age kids, parents coming to visit. So there was, I think, a little bit busy because of that, because it was close to Easter. It was the week before Easter. So there was maybe some people who were traveling to visit for Easter. So it might even be less busy, but we had no issues with any, congestion, really.
Amazing. Well, you stopped in four places, which is very impressive. How long was this trip total?
Yeah, so this was 10 days. Four 10 places days. Is a lot. I would not necessarily do that for everybody. But yes, it was a lot. We started in Milan, and that was really because that's where we flew into. Milan wasn't really even on my list, but since we were flying in and we just decided to stay there for a night to check it out and ease into our trip. We did stay at the Park Hyatt Milan, which was a total splurge and was really, again, intended for me and my hubby to have one really fancy night out. But since I had it booked, my friend and I just made the best of it. We did email them ahead of time and let them know we were celebrating our 40th birthdays. So they gave us a cute bottle of champagne and some cute little pastries in the room. They were very, very accommodating. It was a beautiful room and space. I think my only hesitation and what I would recommend to people is that we wanted to be out of the room so much. I feel like we didn't really get to take advantage of it.
Right.
And because neither of us had been to Milan, we were out exploring so much and trying to see the markets and the cafes and walking. So I don't know if I would do it again, even though it was a beautiful hotel and a beautiful experience. Like, I might save my points if I'm going to be spending most of the time out and about.
Well, I 100% agree with that. And do you remember how many points it was for that night?
It was 45,000 Hyatt points, which is a lot.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, I've got three kids. They're three kids, six and under. We are like a Hyatt place, Hyatt house family. We are trying to stretch our points. So that hurt a little bit for me, but I was willing to do it for that once. But again, I would just weigh that choice. There is another Hyatt in Milan as well that I think is a much lower category. So it's closer to 20 to 25,000 points a night. If I were going to do it again and we were going to be out and about and have kind of the same itinerary, I would probably choose that one.
Yeah.
But the Park Hyatt location cannot be beat. We could walk right into some of the main attractions and it was beautiful.
That is very nice. But that's a super good tip that, you know, you think forego the luxury for stretching your points a little because you're probably not going to be in the room anyways. You might have spent a little more time in there if you were with your husband. So maybe if it's a girl's trip, maybe just go for the cheaper option.
Yes.
Okay. So then you went to Florence or Rome was next?
So Florence was next. So we took the train down. It was pretty short. It was only, I think, an hour and a half, 2 hours down to Florence. The train system there is incredible, all high-speed trains. I did book our tickets online before we left the country, just so that I didn't have any issues with internet connection or, you know, anything. I'm just a planner. So I wanted to make sure that I had all of the tickets taken care of. And you can just start. We did Trenitalia for most of them. And they were reasonably affordable. I think the train from from Milan to Florence was about $40 a person.
Okay.
So manageable, lovely. They give you snacks, comfortable. And then we had two nights that we stayed in Florence. I had been to Florence before. My friend had never been to Italy at all. So she got a true like taste of Italy. I studied abroad in England and had been over in Europe for 5 months in college and had gone to Florence and amazing. A couple other spots, but had not been in a long time. So I was happy to be back. We did stay at Il Tornabuoni, which I probably pronounced horrible, but it is a Hyatt hotel.
We're just glad you're the one who said it because beforehand we're like, you say it. No, you try to say it.
I know you can't do it.
It is, yeah, that's one of the big challenges there is just figuring out kind of what you can pronounce and what you have to kind of just guess. So this was another one that we stayed at for two nights. This one has gone up in category since I booked it. So it was a category 7. Now it is a category 8, which is just bananas. But it is a stunning hotel. And again, the location was just perfect to walk anywhere, to walk to the Tivoli Gardens, to walk across the river, to find gelato. There was just, it's so easily and centrally located that this is one I would even recommend above the Park Hyatt because we loved this hotel so much.
Wow. Okay.
I love knowing that. You know, we have to pick and choose our splurges. So it's a great tip to know that this was maybe more worth the splurge.
Yes. So unfortunately, when I booked this, there were no standard rooms available. So just to rub some salt in the wound, we did end up booking a suite here. So even more points. But again, we were on this splurge trip. I was like, we're just going to go for it here. So it was for two nights, 101,000 points for the suite. I know.
Oh my goodness. But you know, I'm actually so curious to know, and maybe you can tell us at the end if you do know, if you did any kind of calculation as to the cash. Oh, she's nodding her head.
Oh, I've got it.
She knows what this whole trip would have cost out of pocket. That's the number I'm waiting for. We'll save it to the end and that'll be really fun. Any tips for things that people must see in Florence before we move on to Rome?
So there is an incredible market, which has two levels. And this was the first time I had ever been there. So, and we walked there from the hotel, even in the rain. The hotel was so concerned about us being out in the rain. They were handing us umbrellas every time we walked out the door. They were offering to like dry our shoes for us. Like they were over the top in terms of service.
Oh my goodness.
So the market is incredible. You can walk around. My friend bought all of these like delicious olive oils to bring home. And you can make or buy dried pastas and all of the like incredible shapes and colors. And but then upstairs is a whole food market. And so it's like all of these different restaurants. We sat up there and we stayed, I think, for like 3 hours just splitting and trying different things.
Yes, and yes, yes.
Having some Aperol spritz and enjoying each other's company. And we went back the second night because we loved it so much. And there's food for every type of tastes and everything from burgers. We did not go that route. We went some more Italian, authentic. But they made us pasta in a cheese wheel and you got to watch them like mix water in with the Parmesan wheel and put in the fresh pasta and cook it in front of you. Incredible.
I have this on my bucket list. I've seen it on Instagram. Do you remember the name of the market or will people just be able to find it by Googling?
You will be able to find it. It is the main market in Florence. I can send you the name as a follow-up too, but it is the like huge one in the center of the city.
Okay, perfect. We'll put the link in the show notes so people can find it easily because that sounds so amazing.
Yes, it was so incredible. So we loved that, especially because it was rainy. It was like perfect way to still see and feel all of the like outdoor market vibe of Italy. So this is one, especially if you're there and you have a rainy day, like you could spend 2 or 3 hours there easily just looking at all of the different offerings that the shops have downstairs, all the food upstairs. Kids would be happy there. It's a great one.
Love.
The other thing that I loved that I had never done before was actually, again, more of a like rainy day suggestion, because our 2 days in Florence were pretty rainy. But right around the corner from the hotel, there is like a little bookstore that has a movie theater in it that just is constantly showing movies. Like when we were there, it was Edward Scissorhands. It's, I believe it's called the Cinema Odeon. But it was like, again, you could sit there and look at all of the books. They had books in Italian, books in English, French, all the different languages. You could sit, and the whole second story was like a full theater and watching a movie. It was just a completely different, like, kind of hole in the wall little vibe that we just loved and spent some time there. Again, not your typical tourist destinations. There are the big touristy things that you should do in Florence, like the Duomo or some of the things, but we did a little bit more off the beaten path type activities, which was really
fun. My absolute favorite kind of traveling. I love to know the things that not everybody talks about. So this is so fun. So this is, you don't have to buy a ticket. You can just like wander in, sit down, get up when you feel like it.
Ooh. And peruse the books, go upstairs and sit for a little bit if you want to enjoy a movie. I think they do release a schedule too of what movie is going to be shown. So for two of us, where we didn't want to have a lot booked, we did not want, just because we had a short amount of time, we really wanted it to be more of a go with the flow kind of vibe and vacation and not feel constrained by go, 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 do this tour, do this museum.
Yes.
So it was a good balance for us to be able to go see some stuff.
Okay, guys, we will get right back to the episode in a second, but we're going to take a quick pause to talk about one of our amazing sponsors. Mary Ellen, I have a very important question for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Have you ever gotten off of a long flight and felt like your brain and your body and your mood and everything maybe stayed somewhere behind you over the ocean?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That is a yes. You're exhausted, but at the same time, you can't sleep. Your stomach can be in a mess. You're like brain foggy.
Exactly. It's pretty much horrible, but we just discovered FlyKit, and it is honestly a game changer for travel. I know that I like to call things a game changer a lot, but this is like the game changer of all game changers, guys. It's designed to help your body recover from flights quickly because, you know, we're on limited PTO here. We're talking no jet lag, no brain fog, no weird sleep struggles.
Yeah, one of the things I love about FlyKit is that it's not just about the time change. It's also about, because, you know, I'm a nurse, inflammation. The pressure changes on an airplane actually increase the inflammation in your body, which is good for nothing. No one. No one wants increased inflammation. And FlyKit addresses that.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you feel so drained after a flight, even after a short flight, because your body's like, I'm sorry, I was just in a metal tube flying through the air. What is happening? And FlyKit tackles everything. It's simple, all-in-one system developed with Navy SEALs, fighter pilots, and executives who have to perform right after they land.
Yeah, loving that it is like they figured it out with Navy SEALs. That makes me feel good about it, that if it can work for them and the things that they have to do, then it can work for me. And one of the other things I love about FlyKit is there's a lot to it. It's not just one thing. Like there are supplements that you take, but they have an app. And so the app tells you, based on where you're going and the timing of your flights, exactly step by step what to do when. There's these special blue light glasses you put on. I mean, it's very cool and detailed how intricate it is, but the app makes it super easy to follow the steps.
Right. It's personalized, which is what's so cool about it. I think that's what really sets it apart from just going to the store and buying a supplement. It tells you what to take, when to take it, what to do based on where you specifically are going and specific things about your body, like your age, height, weight, all that. And 93% of travelers using FlyKit report little to no jet lag. 93% is massive. And I have to say, those odds are better than just toughing it out because mama needs her sleep. I can't do it.
Yeah. If I'm paying all this money and points, hard earned points, to go on a trip, I want to be fresh when I land so that I can enjoy it. So if you guys want to try it out, go to flykit.com and check that out. Use it on your next international trip and see how it helps you decrease inflammation, helps prevent jet lag, all that good stuff.
Yep, guys, we've got a link for FlyKit in the show notes if you want to head there to grab it. And seriously, we will never fly internationally without this again, so we definitely want you to give it a try. And now we're going to get back to today's episode.
We did do one tour while we were there that we booked with Get Your Guide. That was at one of the art museums. So it's the Uffizi Gallery. So it was also walking distance from the hotel, only about a 10-minute walk. Beautiful Renaissance art, many famous artists there. So that was the one thing that we did that was, you know, more of a standard tour. But then even just walking past the Duomo and walking around, it's so beautiful. That we didn't feel like we needed to do a bunch of tours and be stuck inside too. Cause we did have one sunny day that we just walked the city for 12 hours, basically.
That sounds amazing. That's my kind of trip.
Let's talk a little bit about Rome. And I love you stayed at a hotel called the Tribune, which is a JDV by Hyatt hotel. And just thinking about the different places, you almost got a Hyatt bingo just on this trip alone. You hit a Park Hyatt, a JDV, so many different types of. And for anybody who doesn't know, if you go on the Hyatt app, if you have a Hyatt account, there is a section. And if you stay at five different brands of within the Hyatt portfolio, you earn a free night. So we call it Hyatt bingo. So you stayed at such a wide array. And, you know, considering you're a mom who's used to the Hyatt Place and Hyatt Houses of the world, it's really fun that you got to try these other brands. How did you like the Tribune in Rome?
Yes, we loved it. It is a little bit further out. So the location isn't quite as central to the downtown or like main attractions like the other two hotels were. But we are walkers. We were fine. We didn't take any public transportation. It was about a 40 to 45 minute walk down to the Colosseum. The day that we were there, it was hot actually. It was like 80. So we were fine not going down in the subway and some of the public transportation. It was beautiful. The hotel was perfectly fine. The rooms in Europe are small. We had booked a standard night, which was just what I was looking for after some of those point splurges. Yes. But it was 23,000 points. We had a lovely room. I am not a globalist, but they still, even as a discoverist, gave us two drink coupons for the rooftop bar upstairs. We went and had a little like champagne at sunset. It was adorable little spot. It's a very eclectic design in that hotel. There's lots of dark purples and yellows. And so I think that it was just a fun kind of out of the box, unique little spot.
I love that.
But we really enjoyed it. And in Rome, we did walk around the Colosseum. We didn't do a guided tour inside. We were only there for one night, and that was because my friend had to fly out of Rome. So she had to get on a separate flight and get back. So she left a little bit earlier. But that it worked out great. She flew on Condor and had a direct flight up to Frankfurt and then direct all the way to Seattle.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And I think she only paid $500 for an economy ticket, which is not bad for a decent flight back to.
Yeah, that's a long way. So that's pretty good.
So yeah, so we loved Rome. Again, it was warm. We just, again, bopped around and found like the most incredible restaurant right around the corner from the hotel. We had probably the best meal of our trip, this truffle pasta, like everything is truffle. Everything incredible, like all the dreams about food in Italy are true and all of the rumors, everything was amazing. So it was just like a lovely way to kind of end that, that experience with her. And
yeah, that's beautiful. You have to name drop the restaurant though. We have to know.
It is called San Marco.
San Marco.
Pizzas and pastas and everything that you could dream of, essentially.
Yum. I love that. And I also love that you were like 45 minutes walk, no problem. I find that, and in fact, I had this conversation with my mom recently helping her plan a trip. She was like, ooh, you know, that's kind of far. We might have to rent a car. The things we want to see are 2 miles away. And I'm like, man, if you live in New York City and not St. Louis, a 2 mile anything is like, nah, no big deal. Walk it. It's not going to take that long. It'll be fine. And that's kind of my thinking going into these trips. Just be prepared for the walking, and the walking is part of the experience. It's got to be such a stunning place to walk through.
Yes. And there's a garden right across from that hotel with like incredible trees. And so we thoroughly enjoyed walking around the city and just kind of wandering. We walked, past the famous Trevi Fountain. And So all of it just kind of flowed, and it was, you know, very laid back. It's busy. We were actually there very coincidentally on the day that the Pope died.
Oh, no.
So it was not the best timing. That was one little factor that we did not think about. But so like our waiter at dinner is just bawling his eyes out.
Goodness.
And so upset that this wonderful Pope and wonderful man has passed away that he like very thoroughly obviously admired. So that was just like one interesting dynamic. Had we been going a few days later when some of the funerals or any of the like things were occurring, I think it could have been very challenging.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was the day that it was announced that he had passed and people were not there yet, we weren't really impacted. But that was just one like very strange situation that we found ourselves in.
Yeah, not something you can plan for.
Right.
Let's move on to the Amalfi Coast, which so many people dream of visiting. Here, you did not stay in a Hyatt. So where did you stay in Amalfi?
Yes. So Amalfi is, there are, I think, a few different points hotel options, but this is just one that I think most people are just going to have to buck up and find another option. So this was really I had never been to the Amalfi, and this was my big thing that I wanted to stay at. And so it was a longer time period. So we were here for 3 nights, and I found a hotel on hotels.com, looked at reviews. Before Points and Miles, I had almost always booked through hotels.com. And so I had a little bit of hotels.com. I think they call it one cash in my account that I was looking to use up anyway, because I'm not booking through them very often anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had also a couple, I think, Mary Ellen, you'll appreciate this. I know you're a Fetch girl, but I got a couple of gift cards for hotels.com.
That was just running through my head. I'm so happy that you brought it up. And I'm so happy that you took advantage of that.
Yes, yes. So I do the Fetch receipts and all that fun stuff too. So between that and some of the credit that I got, the hotel was $200 a night, but I had about $150 between those gift cards and the remaining hotels.com cash that I had already. So instead of paying $600, it was closer to like $450 actual out of pocket.
Okay. And you did this part by yourself, right? Was that what I understood?
Yes, yes. So this was really the photographer in me. I wanted to do a little bit of a photography retreat and go explore and find epic locations for photos and that kind of thing. So it was incredible. The hotel was a hidden gem. It was up in the hillside. Ooh. And everything is terraced in Amalfi. Because it's like mountains, cliffs, and then ocean. And so everything is just built into the side of these, you know, gorgeous mountains, basically. So they have a lemon grove on the property that you can go and walk through, smell the amazing smells of the lemon grove. They had an experience that I did one night that was called the Lemon Experience. And you go out and pick lemons, and then they make your dinner out of the lemons. And it was like a full 6-course meal with all lemon-centered, like,
oh my goodness,
focused elements of the food. It was so incredible.
So I just have to say, when you think of booking something on hotels.com, you do not think of Amalfi and picking lemons off a tree and then making you a dinner. Like, this is incredible. It sounds like an unbelievable property. What is the name of it?
It's called Hotel La Pergola. So it is a little bit out of town. Like I said, there is the town of Amalfi. So Amalfi is all like coastal towns kind of scattered among. So you can bus between them or drive between them or ferry between them because they're on the coast. There are some different options. I did not feel comfortable driving. So I did not choose to rent a car. So did a couple of different options between boats and ferries and buses and getting around, and you do have to do your research ahead of time. The buses were a little crazy in terms of people waiting and trying to get on them, and but made it work. And I think for me, the hotel, even though it was not directly downtown or in the most convenient spot necessarily, I took the bus into town and it was just fine. And there was a bus stop right outside. And it was worth it, like, for the views from the terrace. They have a pizza stone there where they make you fresh pizzas right outside while you're out having a drink on the terrace. Like, the most incredible breakfast. So it's run by this son who's the chef and his mother. So he kept saying, oh, yes, mama made fresh salad from the garden. Like, they raise all of their own vegetables and let us walk up there and say, do you want tomato-focused salad with caprese? And like, this hotel was over the top. And the breakfast was incredible and included.
I'm curious if it would be in a travel portal, maybe the Capital One Travel or Chase Travel Portal. Have you looked?
I haven't, but I bet it would be because it's on hotels.com and a lot of them have similar kind of like booking connections and similar services. So I bet that you definitely could try or use your Capital One and do the travel eraser if you booked even with them direct.
Yeah, for sure. And honestly, for all of the amazing kind of amenities, I would expect it to cost way more.
Yes. And maybe I haven't looked, but I bet it would in kind of July, August, high season. I got there kind of right at the beginning of when their tourist season really starts, being in April. So I think April, October are a little bit more quiet for them. So I would expect to pay more probably if you're going in peak season.
That makes sense. Did you feel super safe as a solo female traveler for this portion of the trip?
Yes, I actually walked everywhere still. Like, one day I didn't feel like taking the bus and took the 30-minute walk. The only thing I didn't feel safe about is these are windy roads and they are tight. So be careful if you're walking. Just more if people are driving fast. There's lots of Vespas zipping around, that kind of thing. But I felt completely safe in terms of, you know, theft and, you know, my personal safety other than a few crazy drivers.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's so good to hear. And also, is renting a Vespa an option? Because that sounds so fun.
It is. But you have to have, I believe you have to have an international driver's license.
Okay.
And because I wasn't planning on renting a car, I hadn't gotten one of those. So at least the one company that I looked at, you had to have that. And I wasn't going to go through the rigmarole of doing that or trying to even figure it out while I was in Italy. So if you do have that in mind, I would maybe look into getting an international driver's license ahead of time if you're not renting a car but might want to do something like that.
Yes, that's a great tip.
Were there any apps that you used in all of your planning of all of this? Because hopping around to, you know, four different stops, the trains, the buses, all of that is a lot to plan and coordinate. So did you come across any helpful apps or tools in planning a trip to Italy?
Yeah, so I use TripIt. So I don't know if either of you use that one, but essentially when I get a booking, I just forward it to my TripIt account. And so then I know here's what you have booked at what time and where and all of that. So that was for all of my train tickets, all of the hotels, flights, everything was all organized in that one TripIt app for me. Other than that, when I was there, I used Apple Maps, like Google Maps, those, and they worked great. They got me everywhere I needed to go. No issues. I didn't download any of the city-specific apps. I didn't go through that and try and figure all that out. I just used what I use at home, and it worked great.
Did you get an eSIM, or did you have a data plan from your carrier?
Yeah, so I just I have Verizon, and it was $10 a day, and I just relied on that, and it worked out just fine.
I do want to say, just for the listeners, that I just saw a tip that a few of the Chase cards actually come with a free eSIM if you have an unlocked phone. I'm going to link a video in the show notes from our friend Katie's Travel Tricks, because she's the one that I saw this from. So you guys can watch it and kind of look through the specifics of that. Because like, I have T-Mobile, and it does come with free international data, although it's slow. So I paid $35 for the whole time for my trip to London, and that was worth it to me. But if you have an unlocked phone and you have the right credit card, you could probably get a free eSIM for your trip, which is mind-blowing to me. I have not heard this talked about at all. So side note, I'm going to put it in the show notes for you guys.
Okay, perfect. I have a question that could be controversial, and we hope it is. What well-known tourist spots are worth visiting, and which ones could be skipped?
So I think in Amalfi specifically, I would actually not stay in Positano or in some of the big towns. I think it is fine to do day trips there. You're going to save yourself a lot of money. You're going to save yourself a lot of crowds. And so I think what a lot of people do is like, I have to stay right in the middle of it. And I found it more flexible, where I could get more places by not doing that and being a little bit outside and not spending $600 a night to be directly in the town. So that's just that's my personal opinion on Amalfi. Don't feel like you have to stay in the heart of it all. You can get around pretty easily. For me, so we did the main big cathedral in Milan, and that to me was actually incredible. You can go up on the top, like on the roof. Ooh. And get the whole view of the city, and you are basically like standing next to all the gargoyles and the statues that are on the top of this giant Duomo, and it is next door. You can see it from the Park Hyatt Milan.
Wow.
So if people are going to do that, I think a lot of people do just the inside tour, and that to me, I would actually say, personally, you could skip. It was interesting. It was beautiful. It's this giant cathedral. But the real wow for me on that one was the piece where you got to go upstairs. Mm. And if you're scared of heights, I'm sorry, that might not be the right fit for you. But it was just incredible and unlike any of the other, you know, cathedral experiences. I think that's one thing, is just Italy is full of incredibly gorgeous old churches, Duomos, and I think you can pick one or two and not have to feel like you have to do all of them in every city. So we chose not to do the one in Florence and do the actual tour inside. We walked around outside. It is stunning. But we did the one in Milan, and that one I actually loved because of that upstairs aspect.
That is such a good tip.
So, and then I think that's probably the big ones for this one. The Colosseum is another one in Rome that personally I have done before and I would do again. I thought the history in it is just so, so interesting. And if you are there, book your tickets in advance. It is worth it. It is just so fascinating. We also did the Vatican, and that actually, well, we didn't end up doing it on this trip because the Pope died. Yeah. But I had done it before, and that is another one that I would say is just worth it, just because it is so fascinating and so unique. So I say pick and choose. If you are interested in the history and the religious aspect of all of it, you know, you can lean a little bit more into it. But don't feel like you have to do every single one in every single town in Italy. It is, you know, not necessary by any means.
That's very good to know. So you said this trip was very fast. You went to a lot of places. If people were going for about the same time as you, would you suggest to skip any of these places? Are there like one or two that you think maybe those should be the highlights? What's your favorite?
Yeah, honestly, Florence, I would go back to over and over again. If you're going to Florence for a few days, like you can see most of actual Florence in 2 to 3 days. if you want to do some day trips out to Tuscany or, you know, to Pisa, those are all really easily accessible day trips out from Florence. So that's where I would say if you want to spend a couple extra days and do some of that, then you would want to spend 4 or 5 days probably. But if you're just spending time in Florence, 2 to 3 nights is lovely and does not feel like you didn't get to see it. It's actually a pretty small town.
Okay.
I personally, if I were doing this again, I would not have spent the night or done Milan, just because I'm not into fashion. A lot of it is that high-end luxury fashion. And I am just a Midwest girl who is not buying any crazy over-the-top $1,000 outfits. And that's what a lot of it is in that area. So personally, we loved our time there. But if I had to prioritize, it would be not on my list to go back to right away.
I would stick out like such a sore thumb there. Same. Oh my goodness. I can't even imagine what they would be thinking when they would see me walking down the street. I've been thinking about that a lot lately because my family's preparing to go to Europe. And so I've been thinking through what we're going to wear. And I've been seeing all these reels about how they know you're an American instantly when they look at you. And I'm like, okay, how can I dress more European so I won't stick out so much? But the truth is, even my attempts to look European will fail so hard that, you know, no, it's not even really worth trying, but I can't imagine in Milan, they would be like, no girl, no girl.
Yes. So I would highly recommend Amalfi. It was just lovely, especially if you like lemons. You can get lemon sorbet delivered in a lemon. It is the most delicious thing you'll ever eat in your life. It is fresh.
Oh my gosh.
If you like seafood, which I have heard on podcasts prior that that's not necessarily your thing.
Girl, you know us.
If you are
a
seafood
this.
Lover, you will love Amalfi. I'm not either, but I found just fell in love with the pasta and the pizza and the bakery situation with all of the Nutella stuffed croissants and whatever you can imagine.
Oh my goodness.
Pistachio cream croissants, pistachio cream. Yes.
So good.
Yes. So if I had to do it again, even Rome felt fine for one night, knowing that we were flying out the next day. But if you want to, you know, spend, I would not do less than 3 nights in Amalfi. I would probably not do less than 2 to 3 in Florence. And if I could have, I probably would have just done Florence and Amalfi and added an extra night to each of those.
Yeah, that's a good tip because obviously I think people feel like they have to go to Rome. You know, it's like you're there, you have to do it. And there is some really cool history, but I'm a lot more interested in that kind of slow off the beaten path, see the beautiful things kind of a trip. I do want to see the history, but knowing that you can maybe just pop in and out of Rome and that's okay. I'm glad that you're giving our audience permission for that because I like that.
Yeah. And with points and miles, you can always go back. Don't feel like you have to cram it all into one trip. I think we did a little bit of that. And that was just part of the nature of having to change the plans and make things work a little bit too. So, but it all worked out.
Amazing.
Jen, thank you so much for sharing this trip with us. Remind our listeners where they can find you online.
Yeah, so I have an Instagram account and on TikTok, and it's just Dive Into Points. So a lot of travel around scuba diving, but also some other travel with kids and my husband and some other fun stuff. And then, yeah, other than that, I do have a wedding photography business as well, like I said. So I have too many Instagram accounts to manage. But if you're interested in travel and points and miles, it's probably the Dive Into Points Instagram account.
Okay. Well, you can also feel free to shout out your wedding photography Instagram or websites because I feel like people are always looking for traveling wedding photographers these days.
I was going to say, I do also, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that when I'm on trips, sometimes I'll end up meeting people and they'll be like, can you do a photo session for us on the beach? And it'll just kind of spiral from there. So I've had a few spontaneous things. So that's Jennifer Marin Photography. So Marin is Maren. Again, based in Wisconsin, but a lot more destination and travel photography happening these days outside of Wisconsin.
Jen, beautiful. Are you a Packers fan?
No, I am married to a Packers fan. I am a Vikings fan. I grew up in Minnesota.
I was wondering how you put up with me all this time being in Wisconsin, knowing that I am a Vikings girl.
No. So I love all of your posts and all of your connections to the Vikings whenever you post stuff in the Facebook group or shout it out on the podcast, because we are a divided household. I've got, I think, two of the three kids on my side, but one flip-flops a little bit.
Keep trying. So, keep at them. Don't give up.
They're young. I've got time. I think I can get them all to the dark side with the pack or with the Vikings. But yes. So no, we're just over the border in Wisconsin. So we're actually closer to Minneapolis than like Madison or Milwaukee. Gotcha. So we're pretty close to Minnesota.
Yay, sports.
Woo. I know Joanna's like, yay, not for me.
It's just not my thing, guys. Not my thing. Oh my gosh. This was a great episode, Jen. Thank you so much. I know people are going to be obsessed. Everyone wants to go to Italy. I've never heard a person be like, Italy, skip that. Sounds lame.
So, Joanna, before we sign off, did you want to know the final total number that you wished?
Thank you for remembering that, because my memory is so bad and I would have been so mad if we hopped off here. Yes, give us the total. Everyone's been waiting and they just thought they were about to not hear it. So good job, Jen.
Yes. So out of pocket, I didn't put all the train tickets and that kind of stuff in here, but out of pocket for hotels and flights was $1,200, $1,288, I guess, if you want to be specific. That's with all the taxes and fees and, you know, just those extra things that we had to pay for. Cash value for just the flights and the hotels was over $26,000.
That's it, folks. That is the reason. I just went on a beach trip with some friends. We always go every year and we split an Airbnb, but it ended up being a little over $800 each. And I told them, I was like, well, this is actually the most I pay all year for any of my travels, for at least the accommodations and all. This is the most I pay. And I'm sure they were scratching their head. They know a little bit about points and miles, but still, I think they were probably scratching their heads a little bit like, really? Like, you go a lot of places, but this is it. $1,200 out of pocket.
For the almost rest was points. 30.
That is unbelievable. And you were so business awesome. Class. You were first class Emirates, shower in the sky. You nailed it, girl. You absolutely nailed it.
So yes, totally worth it. And it was, you know, it was over 400,000 points. And that's not going to be every trip. But this one, the value is obviously there. Yes. And it was, you know, something that my friend and I will never forget. And she is, I think, now a convert into like,
yay.
Wait, how did you
this? I'm sure. I'm sure.
So we've got another listener out of her, I think, for you guys.
Love that. So excited to hear that. Thank you again for sharing this. This was so fantastic. And we would love to have you back someday, because I think I saw you're going maybe to Greece upcoming.
We are going to Greece next month. So my husband was pretty bummed. He did not get to go to Italy. So we are going to Greece in August as a backup for him. We're also flying Emirates business class there on that one, because they have another flight from Newark to Athens direct. So
amazing.
He will get to experience that. It's a different flight, not quite the same, but he's still very excited. It'll be his first time in business class. So
yay. Well, we can't wait to hear all about it. Thank you so much. Guys, be sure to join us in the Facebook group, on our Instagrams, all the places. Leave us a rating and a review, and we'll see you here next time.
Bye, everybody.
If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at Points to Wonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new Travel Rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going, so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.